Well, this morning we're back into our teaching again. We're teaching on the prayer of faith. And we talked in the beginning, and we're going to go back. We'll read on here from Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's a foundation for scriptures. But what we're talking about is not just the mechanics of it. Many people get sometimes the mechanics or the rules of things, but people really don't, and especially the Word of God, is getting yourself built in the areas to stand in faith in an area. You know, we're talking about how the prayer of faith works. Lots of times people know exactly how it works, but really they don't have the faith to operate those principles. So you have to have the faith. They're a principle that we can look at it and say, well, here's the laws of faith, because we found the scripture says, Paul talked about the law of faith. There is a law of faith, how faith operates. But number one, you could be faithless trying to operate the law of faith. Many times that's what people do. People are trying to do what they're not ready to do. And so they're looking at it, and this is what happened. A lot of people see, well, that don't work. No, you didn't follow the principles. And we're going to look at that today. Now, last week, and let's just read, I want to read from Mark 11 and verses 23 and 24, because they lay out the principles concerning faith. And Mark 11, 23, now understand, these are things that Jesus said. So lots of people, and this is one thing it's learned to do, and I wish ministers would learn to do this, is not add to the scriptures. Just Jesus said this, and so take it for what Jesus said. Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Then Jesus took that principle and told us, using that principle, he said how to pray. If you pray. Now, in other words, you can speak to things. Lots of times, many times, I speak to things I don't generally pray. I'll say, I will speak a certain thing of faith. I'll just, you know, make a declaration of what I believe and such to come to pass. And I'll just say that. Now, there is the principle of prayer, which you can use in the same manner. But we find he says this, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray. Now, I said that word ask there, actually, it can mean ask, but it also means desire or require. So we could say this, whatever you ask, desire, or require when you pray, what you're supposed to do, it says here, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Let me say this. I was just meditating last night on these scriptures. I was sitting down. You know, this is what it is. I mean, and you need to learn to do this. I've read these scriptures and I've quoted them thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And you know what? I still go back and meditate on them. I still go back and look at them. And last night I was sitting and looking at them. You know, if you're going to preach them, you know what? If you're going to tell somebody about something as best you knew it, loads of people are trying to minister to people things that they can't even get themselves. They can't get it themselves. They're trying to get it for somebody else. And I meditate on these things. But anyhow, meditation. There's one thing that just stuck out to me is you'll notice, like I have the New King James. I did a New King James. They have the word them. In other words, the translators put, but if you it put there, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And then it says you will have them. The words them are in italics. In other words, they are not actually in the original Greek. They were added to added to it to sort of make sense to it of what it's saying, sort of like completing a sentence. And but really, if we would look at it, it says this in the Greek. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have. But also, I looked in the Greek. The word Greek is in the Greek is not the word receive. It's received. It's not the word receive. It's actually received. See, and that's what we say. You got to believe you receive it at the time that you pray. You what? Believe you received. And then when he added the word them, what's he talking about? You believe you received them things you ask for. And you can ask for more things than one thing at a time, because he just said whatever things you ask. He didn't say whatever thing you ask. He said things. So you could ask for more than one thing. You don't have to do seven different prayers. What you do is, if people learn to do this, get in faith about the prayer you're going to pray. Instead of praying about 10 different things off the wall at different times, sit down and, what do I need right now? Sit down, get in faith about it. Find the scriptures. Now, you need to do this. Find the scriptures that support what you're believing God for. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It isn't just that you want something. That's nice to want something. But you have to know, and as we go on in our teaching in these things, we'll discuss these things more in detail about them. So, but in other words, those things that you want, so you believe you received them. You know, it's funny, I never looked that up before, and last night it just come to me. You go over and read that in the Greek. So I got up my Greek interlude in the New Testament, opened it up and said, this is Greek to me. And I looked through and I found out what it said. And it I'm not a Greek scholar, but I read books on people who do know about Greek and who understand translations and understand all the tenses and the genders and the blah, 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 all that stuff. And I know what they're talking about when they say it, but I'm just not, you know, versed at it myself. So I found out it's better to read. You know, I don't need to invent the wheel. I'm not going to try to learn Greek myself. You can go learn it from others. So that's what I did. Find out what it says. But in other words, we believe at the time that we pray, we receive the thing that we ask for. We believe it at that time. And that's the principle laid out. Now, we went last week and we looked where James, in the book of James. Now, James is not James the apostle that walked with Jesus. The book of James is the brother of Jesus, James. Now, he didn't follow Jesus in his ministry. In fact, none of Jesus' family did. Not even his mother didn't follow him in his ministry. They didn't follow him. If you read the scriptures, you find out they didn't. You know, Mary had an angel. I would have thought that strange thing. Just because an angel appears to you and says something, don't ever mean you're going to walk right or figure things out. You got to pay attention to God and not population and what people around you are saying. You know, when he went to Nazareth, he went and said, a prophet is not honored in his own home. He wasn't honored in his own house till after he died. And from the Jewish history, says that Jesus appeared to James after his resurrection. And James ended up to being the head of the church in Jerusalem. Peter wasn't. Scriptural, read the book of Acts. Peter was not the head of the church in Jerusalem. James was. And, they found Peter's bones, and over in Rome, you know, they got it there at the Vatican. They should have got James. He was the guy in charge. You know, a lot of Christianity don't pay much attention to what's going on and what's happening, what the Bible says. The Bible's really clear on some things, but people get their own ideas and just follow the traditions of the day, the religious traditions of the day. Well, we're not going to do that, are we? But we looked at James, and James had a really good understanding about faith and praying, because we looked at two examples in James last week. I'm not going to go into them again, but what things that he said were exactly in line with Mark 11, 23 and 24. They were exactly in line with it. And so if you go over and listen to that, you'll see the principle of faith. And he talked about praying. And so following those principles. What we want to look at today, and what I want to talk with you about today, because number one, you need to be, it isn't enough to know the principles about faith and how it works. You need to get in faith to operate that principle. And so, because there's much said out here about a lot of different things, and people are saying they can say all kinds of different things. But one of the things that we talked about is looking, when we started off in the prayer of faith, that something that Jesus had said in John 16, and I want to read those scriptures to you. I'm going to read you these scriptures, and I'm going to be reading more scriptures. We're looking at what Jesus said. And you need to understand this. If people preach and say differently than what's written here, there's too many people add to. Over the years, when I teach on the subject of faith especially, there's always people who come along, you know, it's like with me, it's teaching certain things. I was teaching on the areas of healing. I would read scriptures, what it said. I would get remarks from people who would turn around online and say they listened to some of my stuff. And these people get all upset because I say certain things. What I said was exactly out of Scripture, but see, they religiously believe what people have added to it. Well, you can't do that, and you can't do this. One guy say, well, you know, about me casting, saying I can cast out devils. Well, hold it. The Scripture said I could. But there's Christians sitting in churches and say they believe the Bible and they believe God, and they don't believe the Bible and believe God. I wonder somehow some of them could ever possibly be saved. I think they're just religious people. You know, you're not saved because you go to church. You're not saved because you say you believe in Jesus. What Jesus do you believe in? The Jesus I believe in, I believe the words that he said, and I don't care what anybody else says about it, and I don't pay any attention to anybody that adds to his words. Because I know we're talking about two different Jesuses. Paul talked about a different gospel being preached. We have many different gospels other than Bible gospels, and many churches and many people believe they preach the gospel and have hardly ever preached the gospel in their life. They preach their religious traditions and call it gospel. And folks, you need to understand that that stuff really interferes with you. I came out of religion. And I'm going to tell you what, it interferes with your life if you don't throw it out. And the only way you can get out of it is by going to the Bible and quit listening to people preaching other junk. And you just go to the Bible. You make your reference. See, my reference is the Bible. My reference is not Kenneth Hagin books. My reference to everything is the Bible. My number one book that I read, the number one thing I study is the Bible. You know, when I go and get in sermons and stuff, very seldom do I touch another book or anything like that. Very seldom do I do. I sit down and look at the Bible. And I sit and meditate on the Bible. I let God talk to me and tell me what I'm supposed to do. Let him see. Because, you know, people say, I don't hear from God. Well, look at the Bible sometime. You might hear. You'll find him there. I locate him there every day. He's there doing a good job. But I want you to come in the areas of faith. Mark 16 verse 22 says, now this is Jesus speaking, therefore you now have sorrow, but I say to you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no one will be able to take from you. And in that day, and he's talking to the disciples. This was the evening before he was crucified, he was taken was arrested and hauled off. And he's saying to them, because he's going to speak of a day that's coming, and the day of his resurrection is going to come, everything's going to change. And he tells them concerning that day. They didn't understand at the time, but when that day came, everything changed. He says, in that day, you will ask me nothing. In other words, you don't ask me. Now, Jesus said to them, that this day comes, you don't ask me anymore for stuff. You don't ask me about it. What did he say you're supposed to do? He said, you don't ask me. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask the Father, you ask the Father. You need to get a hold of this in prayer, because we want to deal with this. I've heard over the years, and see, I want to talk about this because I hear things, and over the years people come and say, well, God knows what you want. I don't care if he knows what you want. You don't get it because he knows. God knows everything. But you know, he said, Jesus is specifically saying, if you want something, you got to ask. He didn't say, you know, I sometimes knew my kids want, but they didn't ask. I didn't bother. I waited till they asked. I don't care if I know you want healing. I'm going to wait till you ask. Why? Because you got to use your faith. Everybody wants the minister to conduct everything and line everything up and do everything, and then I'll just come, and people come faithlessly. If you want something, you know, call on the elder of the church. See, you want to read the Bible sometime and believe what it says. No, we don't call on the elder of the church. We want something. He's supposed to get a gift of the Spirit and know exactly what I want and take care of it. Lots of times I know what people are going through and I don't say a thing, because they don't say a thing. I ain't saying a thing. If they want to live with it, live with it. You need to wait. You know, this socialistic Christianity that's been built since the 1960s is that the minister's taking care of everything with the people and doing all this stuff, and people become lazy, don't do nothing, sit around, wonder why their faith don't work. They don't do nothing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're after something, go after it. You know, I tell you, if I want something, I don't wait around for Wanda to go to the store and get it for me. Well, she probably wouldn't do it. You want it? Go get it. You know? You know, one time, say, you know, she wanted to buy things. She talked to me about it. Said, well, I said, if you want it, you go after it. Just go get it. You don't have to ask me, just go ahead. If you want it, go at it. You know, I don't have to chase around for it. Go after it. Do you want it? See, what do you want from God? You ain't going to get it from me. No matter how much I go after it, if you want it the way I got it, you're going to have to go after it the way I got it. We need to get that. Somehow we think it's come kind of different. I realized when I started off listening to Kenneth Hagin, I don't know why, I just knew I was going to have to do the things that he did if I wanted to end up where he was at. I mean, it was just logical to me. I don't know. It don't seem to have any logic today. There's no logic in Christianity today. And we need to come back to it. Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. He said, ask. See, you need to come to this place. And see, even though we know the principles of faith and the prayer of faith, how it works, you need to know when you come and you ask, you're going to get it. If you don't know that, you can say all the right words, follow all the right principles, and it won't do anything for you. You know, I remember years ago, and they were good. They'd have different kinds of prayers that you could pray. You know, they'd have these, and you'd get them in there, and they'd have different prayers. There's nothing about writing down a prayer. My God, we got Paul wrote prayers down in the Bible, you know. I remember, you know, a person said to me one time, I don't like this thing writing down prayers. I said, well, Paul wrote down prayers. I figure if it's a good one and it's scriptural, it'd be good if you wrote it down. Most people just pray in unbelief. Thank God they don't write them down. And pass them on some knucklehead stuff to other people and confuse them. If it's by faith, you know, it would do many people very good to sit down and write their prayers out before they asked, so they get it right and don't get into their little religious mode when they start to talk. I've sat down already and thought out what I really want, what I want to talk to God about. Did you ever think about what you wanted to talk to somebody and come up to them and say, oh, gee, I forgot. If you had wrote it down, it wouldn't have happened. You know, I found this out. I don't forget near as many things as I take notes on. Your mind, your physical mind, wasn't ever created to the idea that you wouldn't have to do anything and you'd just know it all and... You got to work at this thing. And most people, I'm just sorry out here, average people out here are lazy. They're going through life trying to get things without keeping track of stuff. It don't work. It don't work. Number one, it helps me to remember. Lots of times I'll take a note on a thing and then I won't even need that note because it helps me because when I write it down and I see it, they've learned this. God gave you, you know, if we would use our sight and everything and sound to, other than to walk in unbelief with it, is to use it to better ourselves in our memory and everything because they've already proved through studies something that you heard, you will only remember it for so many days probably and you won't. That's why if I'd come in here and sit next Sunday morning and I would start asking specific questions on what I taught, 90% of you wouldn't know. If I asked you this, what we did last Sunday, you'd sit with all blank looks in your face. Most people just heard. That's all they did. They just heard. They just heard. Well, there's only a limited amount of time. But what you hear and what you write down and see with your eye and then read it, man, your memory expansion goes boom, way out. I mean, it lasts a lot longer. So that's what you write something down. It does something for your memory. You know, God designed things like that. God gave us intelligence. It would be good if it was used. Now, you wouldn't expect, if your kid went to school and never took notes or anything and didn't do well, people get all upset. Yet Christians in the church are really spiritually the dumbest people because they just think that you just sit here and don't have to do nothing with it. Man, you got to work at this thing. You know, I'm going to tell you what, if you want to go see all the notes I got, you look in my computer sometime and books of notes that I got. Books and books of notes. I got notebooks filled with stuff. I got notebooks filled with sermons. Dear Lord, I could turn around and on my computer, I could preach for years and years every day, two or three times a day for years on end and have not come up with another kind of sermon. I could just get over there like a lot of ministers do. You just do by rote, you know. You go down and you just study it something so you preach it because you don't have to do nothing the next time. See, you know, you just keep going on. No, and I take my time and, Lord, if I didn't want to preach something I did before, which one is it? I want to know. See, I want to hear from God. Many times He'll tell me, Lord will speak to me. You know, you have notes on such and such. You ought to get that out. And I go back over and read them. My word, yeah, that was good. That was, the Lord showed me something and I have it there. So praise God. Hallelujah. This is good teaching. And we're dealing in the areas of faith. See, your faith is not going to work out here because, you know, you just heard me preach something. This is getting this stuff in you and getting it inside of you. Now, I read that scripture because I want to go today. I want us to look at John 15, 16. Something, again, Jesus said. And this is really important here because this is Jesus speaking concerning prayer. And the prayer we're dealing with is the prayer of faith. Understand, I talked about this. We're the prayer of faith, you cannot use it for everybody else. This is about you asking God for the stuff you want. It's not asking God for the stuff somebody else wants. The prayer of agreement is basically two people praying the prayer of faith together, agreeing on the same thing of the prayer of faith. See, they have to both agree. Most people come along and they want something. Understand this. You wanting something is not faith, and you wanting something doesn't move God. He's not moved because you want something or even need something. That doesn't move Him. He don't respond to you because you need. If He responded to you on the basis of need, everybody in the world would be getting their needs met. Is that happening? No. So God's not moved by need. God is moved by faith. So I want to operate over this. Listen with Jesus. And see, these are the things that you need to get in faith about. These scriptures here would be good for you to go over them and sit down and meditate on them till you come to the place that when you step before God to pray, you're already convinced He's going to hear you, He's going to respond to you. If you don't do that, you're going to have problems. John 15 and verse 16 says, listen, Jesus said, you did not choose me. So He's saying to the disciples, you didn't choose me. He said, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Now, He's going to talk about what this fruit stuff is. See, this is a fruit-bearing Christian. Yeah? Well, we'll find out. He said, and that your fruit should remain. Now listen, this is what? We're going to talk about fruit produced in your prayer life. This is answered prayer life. Do you have answered prayer life fruit? Most of Christians, they'd be shocked. If the only one they think that they got was when they got born again. After that, it's been all luck if they got anything. He said, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. It is about you praying and asking God and getting your prayer answered. That's called fruit. See, there's fruit to a prayer life. Fruit to a prayer life is answered prayer. If you didn't get any answers, you don't have any fruit. Now, Jesus is saying this. I chose you and I appointed you to get your prayers answered. I chose you and I appointed you to get your prayers answered. I chose you and I appointed you to get your prayers answered. We are chosen by God for it. And now, here's one thing. Let me throw this out. He didn't say, this is for you disciples, and it's not for everybody else. It ended when the last disciple died. That's not there, is it? Is that, no? Oh boy, I hear that stuff all the time. You go read the scripture, and here come the religious people swearing they love the Bible, but they have about 47 scriptures that are beside that scripture they made to get you into unbelief so you don't get what God wants you to have. Now, let's look at this. Let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter. Let's find out if the 12 were the only chosen ones. Let's find out. Maybe they were the only chosen and the rest of us scumbags. Good luck. You know, just get out the roulette table, throw that barrel bearing in there and let her spin. And God's going to sit up there and say, well, you missed that one. So I guess, you know, that's a different number than I was at. Yep, you had your money on the wrong thing. So good luck. Oh, then again, we go to the crap table and they'll go over there and they'll get them dice out. Oh, yeah, mama needs a new pair of shoes. You know, one of those jobs. We get on there. Well, prayer didn't work. Sometimes he says yes. Did you see Jesus say sometimes he'll say, God will say yes, sometimes he'll say no, sometimes he'll say wait. Did any of that say there? We ought to cast the devil out of everybody that says that. Because it ain't nothing but the devil defeating Christians from getting their prayers answered. See, that's why I meditate on these things. I don't meditate on what these people say. Jesus said this, if he doesn't follow his word, there is no point in me following him. I have no guarantee of salvation. If these scriptures aren't true, then I have no guarantee that salvation's true. If he lied here, he could have lied over there. See, many Christians actually believe God lies. He's God, he can do anything. He can't lie. He's not a man that he can lie. He can't lie. That's your security. If you believe God can just change and do whatever he wants to do, your faith has no security at all, ever, never. In other words, you can never have faith. You can never have it. Now listen to this. Peter said this. In the 9th verse of 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, for you are a chosen generation. Wow. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. His own special people that God sometimes says to him, yes, no, maybe, later, or not at all. You're his own special people. What? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you calling the praise? Here's the church world. Well, he said no. I'm calling his praises. I asked him and he said no. I asked him and he said maybe. And then I asked him, you know, I said, oh yes, praise his holy name. I'm a chosen generation. I'm in this. I've been chosen by God. Just said so here. Hallelujah. I'm a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. I'm part of the holy nation. Well, did that scripture maybe ran out and stopped when the apostle died? I don't know. But since I can't find that stopped, I have to take it that it's true today, so I have faith in it. Hallelujah. Chosen by God. Listen to this. Now let's go to the book of Revelation. This is about the ones who come back with Jesus. I want you to see this, because if it ended sometime back, book of Revelation shouldn't have anything about these chosen. Should it? Shouldn't we have any of that? But in the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter, it's speaking about the Antichrist and his armies, but this is wonderful. It says in verse 17:14, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is King of kings, Lord of lords, King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Those who are with you. See, well, in other words, I'm chosen. I must be. See, those same people that tell us that, you know, this stuff ain't for us are telling us we're coming back with Jesus when he comes back to the earth. Well, the chosen are coming back. And if you ain't chosen anymore, you ain't coming back. Only the chosen come back. Ed's on the list. Hallelujah. Are you on the list? Well, you are if you believe this is true, or you're walking around wondering if you're even going to get there to be with him to come back. Hallelujah. That's why you got to believe the scriptures. Now, I want to read you some things just concerning God. And this is why I was getting in faith of these things. If you really know who and what you are and what God has done for you, it'll change your whole approach to prayer, is coming to asking in faith. This is why people are just trying to take a principle and take it and make it work when they really don't have any faith to make it work. They're faithless. They're not sure. They're always questioning. They're always wondering. And see, this is one of the things the Lord wants to get us past. He wants us to deal with bringing us ourselves to faith of the fact that we're confident in who and what we are before God. that these things that Jesus said were true. Hallelujah. When I come and I'm standing on the Word of God, I'm getting my prayer answered. It's going to come to pass for me. It's going to happen. That's what you want to do. Why? Because God's glorified through you producing that prayer fruit. He's magnified in it. People say, well, I want to honor God. Well, then if He's not answering prayer, He's the one causing dishonor. He's the problem. God can't be working to try to stop me from getting my prayers answered. That's an impossibility. He's the one that's trying to get it over. So why? He gets glory by the fruit we produce. He gets praise by the fruit. You know, the children of Israel couldn't praise God for bringing them out of Egypt if He said, I'm going to let you here and die. Would they praise Him for getting them? You think they'd have gave Him any praise for leaving them there to die? As most Christians, you know, over the years I've had people that, well, we're supposed to praise God and everything, and I have cancer and I'm going to praise God in my cancer, for my cancer. I think, oh, my God, give me a break. The stupidity is incredible out here in this world. Glory to God. Well, I want you to look at Ephesians, the first chapter, because I'm going to read a good portion here of the first chapter, because you need to understand about who and what you are and what God's done for you if you're going to be able to take stand in this place of prayer. Because if you have any questions in your mind about whether God wants to do it or who or what you really are, you're going to always have trouble. You're going to have a faith life that is just going to be, you know, trying to do it. I don't try to have faith. I never try to have faith anymore. Now, people say, I'm just having a hard time believing. What do you mean? You watch a TV and a guy on the news says something, you believe him instantly. God says something, we don't. It's because you trained yourself not to believe God. Ain't got nothing to do. You have a heart. You have things that you believe and you believe instantly. There's nothing wrong. I believe the Word instantly, and I'm very skeptical about the news. I'm completely different than most Christians. Because they'll talk to you and they know all the news of all the stuff, but you talk the Bible with most Christians, you might as well just forget it. They don't know enough about it to discuss it. And then the more things that they'll tell you that are in the Scripture ain't even there. In fact, I don't let you know. The Bible is what I know the most about. And if you want to know what I know about, that's it. Because I have spent my last, you know, since 1980, it's been the number one book. You know, it's on my bestseller list every year, number one. So if you, I don't know about New York Times. I don't know what's up there, but it would have been good if most people would have never read them. And I don't care if they were from some so-called conservative. It would have been better if we hadn't read them. And I don't anyhow. But I want you to look at Ephesians, the first chapter, because of the wonderful things that are said here in talking about what God has done and who the believer is. If we are any things that are said here on this, then God, then Jesus had to be exactly right of what He said about answering our prayers. Because of what the Apostle Paul wrote to these folks about what God had made us and what God's had done. Now we're going to start at verse 3. And he says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Has, past tense. God is not going to bless you. He has. Number one, if you're going to operate in faith, you're going to come before God. Faith is always operating in its past tense, as if God has already done something. If you don't operate there, you're not in faith. If your faith is when it comes, when it happens, I'm sorry, that's future. It's not faith. Faith is the substance. Now faith is the substance. Faith deals with right now. Faith don't deal with the future. See, my faith ain't about the future. I believe I get it now. It may show up in the future, but it's about now. I got to operate. Faith operates in me right now. See, He has blessed me. Well, I'm just praying. You're praying, asking God. I just need God's blessing. Well, read the Bible. You'll find out you had it. Then you'll then read the Bible a little bit more and find out what He blessed you with and then receive it as being true instead of running around and waiting for Him to write a new book for you. To tell you some special thing. I'm going to take some special thing yourself. Get a hold of the Word of God. Take it for you. He said He blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So everything that's in the heavenly places, all the things. Now just think about it. What all's up there? I'll just tell you this. I don't know. But I get enough out of the book to find out things. But I don't know everything because we know this. The Bible tells us that God has things that He prepared for us, for when we get there, we're going to see things that we don't even know about that's been prepared for us. There's all kind of glory, I tell you, that we're going to step into. Number one, I don't pay much attention to that because I want to know what glory I got now, what blessing I have now. See, I'm living here in the earth. I'm not living in heaven. Are you? You died and didn't just leave yet. See, we're living here. I'm not interested in what I can have when I get to heaven. I'm only interested in what I can have because right here is where I'm living. Right here. I want to know what belongs to me here. I know all about the golden streets. I don't meditate on golden streets. I don't meditate on in walls and being. I don't meditate on none of that. I ain't got time for it. There's too many things I ain't figured out yet here about how God can work here yet in me. You know, all these people want to know what about the millennium. I want to know about, the people all want to know about the millennium. You know why they want to know? Because they can't get nothing working here right now. And so they're looking and hoping, well, the millennium comes, maybe things will straighten out here a little bit and we'll get. No. I'm not really, I know the millennium's true, but I don't spend time over there on that. I want to know what God's doing, what I can walk in. What can I grab a hold of His right here, right now, to be a blessing and bless Him, produce fruit in my life He gets excited about. Glory to God. That's good preaching, folks. But you've already been, everything in heavenly places, it says you've been blessed, you have been blessed with. Not you're going to, you have been. My God. You've been blessed with everything. How could He say no when you ask Him about the blessing? How could He say no? How could He say not now, sometime later? How could He say those things? The Apostle Paul lied on God. If he did. No. Preachers lied. People lied. Paul was right. Jesus is right. They lied. The Bible is true. Men are liars. They may not mean to be liars, but nonetheless, they are. See, we need to deal with it. He said, now look, verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. You see, we find out from what Paul writes about, Jesus didn't specifically say this, but those disciples were chosen before the foundation of the world. He didn't just say it. He said, I called you and I chose you. Well, here we find out every believer is chosen. Every believer is chosen. Glory to God. I'm the chosen. You're the chosen. Hallelujah. Why? Before the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. You see, this all-knowing God, you need to understand Him. He knows everything from beginning to end. It isn't that He decided who was going to get saved and who wasn't. He just is no all-knowing God. He knew who was going to accept it and who wouldn't. If God chooses people from the standpoint they don't have choice, then the entire Bible is a lie. Salvation is a lie. It don't matter what you do. You would be saved if you do anything or not, because if God chose you, if that's what it's talking about. What He's talking about, they're the ones here who receive Christ. Now understand, He is speaking to Christians here. These are people who came to Christ. People who come to Christ, we were chosen by God for what? For all the blessing that heaven got. The sinner ain't chosen for that. If he comes to Christ, then he's chosen for that. He can have all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You know, I lived for 30 years. All the blessings, God had them ready. I didn't have them. I didn't have no blessings. All I had was trouble. And I got born again. And the day that I got born again, I got all the blessings. I didn't know nothing about them. I didn't know what they were. See, I came out of a religious church. They didn't know what they were either. They had no clue. They were always just trying to get by. You know, I'm just an old pilgrim down here, just drudging along. I'm not a pilgrim here. You know what I am here? I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. I ain't a pilgrim. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Do we send people over to other country, they're an ambassador, and say, oh, he's a pilgrim. You know, he's a pilgrim. No, he ain't. He's an ambassador. He's a representation. I represent the kingdom of God in this earth. That's what I do. That's what every Christian's called to do. Paul said, we're ambassadors for Christ. I represent the kingdom. Do we send ambassadors to the nation and we make them live like the people in the nation they're in? No, we send them. They get to drive in nice cars. They get to live in nice homes. They get all that stuff that America has. They don't go to some African country and live in a hole in the wall. They go over there and live like Americans live. Why would he bless me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly place and I'm just supposed to live like the world does? I want to figure that one out. We're supposed to be representing Christ, and what the church has done well has represented the poor, the lame, and the lazy very well. We got to admit it, folks, you know. Hey, I'm not saying to criticize people, but see, the wrong gospel gets preached. The wrong stuff gets preached. We don't say these gracious words that are written on the pages of the book because people in their little minds have trouble believing it. I don't believe it with my head. I believe it with my heart. The Bible says it's true, it's so. If God has said certain things, then they are so. They are true. And I'm going to walk in them and I'm going to believe them. Now, he said, the whole thing is, well, he did this thing from the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Listen to this. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Now listen. According to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's good pleasure to make you a son. It was God's good. It was his good pleasure to make you his son. This is why you need to understand. If you say, well, we're just old sinners saved by grace. God don't have any old sinner kids. I was a sinner. Now I'm a son of God. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says. I love these words because he said, I was predestined. Anybody who gets born again is predestined to become a son of God. It's predestiny upon your faith in Christ Jesus. You can't help but turn into a son of God. Ain't that wonderful? Hallelujah. My God, what good news. You know, people get over here, you know, well, you know, we're just, I'm just an old servant. I'm not some old servant. I serve God, but I'm a son. I'm a son serving my father. I'm not an old servant. I'm going to tell you, the servants don't live in the house where the master lives. We seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated at the throne of God. Only sons can sit in that place. Only sons are allowed in that place. Now, he said he did that for the good pleasure of his will. Now, listen to what he says. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. He did all this. He did all these things to the praise and the glory of his grace. All this praise and the glory of his grace was all done by him at his will, not because you deserved anything or to have anything. See, this is most Christians. Most Christians will not receive anything they didn't earn. This is why prayer lives fail. They're going on their ability. Well, see, I messed up, so God ain't going to answer. I did this or I did that. Or I'm just this. You know, I just can't. What they do is approach God on the basis of their inferiority. I'm a child of God based on his will and his purpose, not mine. If he called me and my prayers can only get answered because I'd make everything right, if I can make everything right, I don't need him. If I'm doing everything, well, you know, we're not perfect. Duh. People throw that stuff out there. That's a big badge of honor. We're not perfect. My faith is. If my faith isn't perfect, I ain't getting my prayers answered. I can operate out of my inner man perfectly. My problem is I have to deal with the outer man sometimes. He ain't so perfect. Check yours lately. But God don't judge us according to the outward man. He judges us according to the heart. See, people don't see the heart is always to do evil, you know. Throw that stupid, unbelieving scripture out of the Old Testament talking about men who are not born again. And drag it over to the New Testament and make it a shining scripture that all of us can look at and feel condemned. So you can't get anything from God. If your heart is only to do evil, you're going to be in hell. That's where the people go whose heart is only to do evil. God gave me a new heart, and not because I deserved it or I did any wonderful thing. In spite of all of my ugliness, He predestined me through faith in Christ to become His child. And He says, you know what, Ed, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. When you do dumb, just run into Dad. Come on, get in here. Don't run to some religious church that will keep you bound for 40 years because of what you did. You messed up. Get in. Anybody here, you didn't mess up? You haven't done it? If there is, we're going to have an altar call for liars later on. We're going to get you saved. We've got to get this thing turned around. You know, it's just, no, we have. But God responds to us from our hearts. Thank God, I've done things in the flesh, but it wasn't my heart in action. I've said dumb things with my mouth that was from my flesh, but it wasn't from my heart. Thank God it didn't come to pass. Hallelujah. Thank God it didn't work, because what's in my heart and I say is what comes to pass. Thank God. See, God set up a fail-safe system for idiots. And so we get by with it. He can bless us in spite of our stupidity sometimes. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you know, we ought to get glad about this kind of stuff. No one said we preach well. Sometimes God says no. So everything we can do, the devil will give gospels and preach gospels to keep you in unbelief so God can't answer your prayers. In the sad part, he gets men to preach them. Listen to what he says, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. According what? To the riches of his grace. See, grace. He did this because of grace. Wasn't you, he deserved it. He did all this for you. And you know what? He did all these wonderful things for you, and then he's not going to answer your prayers. That's his plan. He did all this great stuff, but he ain't going to give you nothing. No, no, no. Maybe he would when Billy Graham was alive, but not for you. See, you didn't do as many wonderful things. No, he did what he did by grace. If he hadn't been anointed, he'd have never done what he did. I do what I do by the anointing of God. If I do it by Ed's ability, then it's all of no worth. It's of no worth. I do what I do. Hallelujah. I minister by the grace that was given to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we do. Well, in this, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, I want you to, this is because they use the word here, abound. Actually, it's not a correct translation. The word should actually be said, we would say, if you want to talk abound, it would say superabound. This is abounding beyond measure. No, it'd be something, you know, you could have something abound towards you and it's really good and pretty much. You know, that's like, it'd be nice to get, you know, $1,000, but this was talking about, it's like you got 2 million. See, this is the church. They've been, God's abounding toward me. I got 50 cents. That's the reading of the scripture, you know. He abounded toward me, just got me by, old sinner saved by grace, limping along, bad leg and my back went on me and everything else, and you know, and everything's gone, and the dog died, and my wife left me, and I tell you, but I'm just believing the Lord. We're just trusting Jesus. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, we'll go on from there. It says, abound toward us. What? He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What's the wisdom? So you can fix watches or something? Or so maybe repair a car or do something. The wisdom of God's word. It abounds toward me. Well, God hides things and he don't always want us to know. We can't know the mysteries of God. I'm sorry. What on earth did he put the Holy Ghost in me for? Jesus said he knows all about me. And he says he'll take all that's mine and reveal it to you. Now, the last time I checked, Jesus is called God. That's the last time I checked. How much do you think Jesus knows? I think he knows. That's why this superabound wisdom and prudence, this thing, prudence is just pretty good sense. That's what prudence is. We know that the church hasn't accepted this because most of the church don't have good sense. Now, I'm not knocking them, but see, if you need to understand this. If you're not taught these things properly, you don't ever receive what God gave you. You're expecting not to be able to do things well. You're expected to just go along like the world does, walking in a ridge. You and Nancy Pelosi just going along together. Standing in front of people and all of a sudden your brain just goes and leaves and say, well, you know, I'm getting older and I'm going to become an idiot. Does that sound like wisdom and prudence abounding toward me? Does that sound like that? You see, this one thing, you must get a revelation of these things if you want to step into the presence of God and pray. If you want answered prayers, you got to see yourself in this light. If you don't, you'll go through the mechanics of prayer, and that's all it'll be. I followed all the rules, but there really hasn't been a faith tied to it. There's not been a confidence in the presence of God that what I ask, I'm going to get it. That's what God wants you to have. That's what He loves. It's called faith. Without faith, you can't please Him. He wants you to walk in the door and you acting just like you're going to get what you ask for. This is most Christians. They grovel around the throne, crawl around the back, sneak their head up over the side and said, you know, check to see if maybe he ain't grumpy today. And maybe if I ask him or something, and then we'll start another religion. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go ask Mary. Maybe if we ask Mary, and then she'll go ask Jesus, and then Jesus will go ask Dad. What do you think? What do you think of that? I'm going to tell you what. Jesus, under His authority, the Father has to answer my prayer if I'm in faith. Or Jesus' name is no good. And to most of the church world, the name of Jesus is no good. It's only good to get saved and that's it. After that, it's no. Look, Jesus said, in my name, the Father will give you anything. They say, oh, no, He won't. No. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes a name don't work. So religion makes up all kind of things like we do, you know. You know, the kids come and ask Dad for something, and he says no. So they go ask Mom to try to get Mom to get Dad to do a certain thing. My kids found out that didn't work. They only got worse. If they went turn around and tried to finagle behind my back, they were in trouble. And Mama was too if she was playing the game with them. We did have a leader in the house. Oh, it's nice to have one too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Got pretty quiet there for a while. So I just Hallelujah. Listen to this. Listen to these terms in verse 9. Having. Now, is having present tense? Is it future tense? Or is it past tense? Having made known to us the mystery of His will. Oh, God don't want you. This thing. He says, it's already been made known. See, what we just got to take a hold of it. See, I get to read the book and find out what the will. That's what the New Testament is. It's a testament or it's a will. That's what it is. And you look in there and find out what belongs to you. I'm reading about what belongs to us. This is mine. I know it belongs to me today. You know why? Because the guy that had the will written up, Jesus Christ, he done died. And when he died, the will became mine. It's mine. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to get no will. The will's good today. Because the guy who died, his will was handed to Ed. This is a legal document. God can't go against this legal document. He made it. God the Father and God the Son got together and made this covenant. And if we believe on Jesus, we were made heirs of this covenant. Well, He can't turn around and say, I can't have it. He can't do that. It's illegal. Then if you can find that anything in this thing, this document, is not legal for us today, then we have no proof that we can have any of it. Because the document's no good now. The document is no good. That's why when you limit yourself, when you listen to wrong teaching, you limit yourself, you make this document not true. And it becomes hard to get things and you become a beggar. Oh, come on, God, give it to me. And you watch other people get it. He must like them better. They must know something I don't know. No, they just believe the will. See, I believe the will. I don't have any special revelation. I just believe that the book belongs to me and it's mine. It was a will written for Ed. And I want to know why they call it a testament if it ain't. Because it's a testament of nothing. It's just some nice letters and some nice things people said. It ain't a nothing. Hallelujah. These are the words of God. Listen, having made known to us the mystery of his will, how? According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God decided to not hide stuff from you. He decided that. He didn't wait till you got saved to see how mature and how well you would do before he would give it to you. Lots of times we can determine how fast we grow up. Some people don't grow up spiritually very fast, and the reason they don't is because they don't push into it. They don't go after it. See, I go after. I found out I was supposed to know the mysteries. I'd go after the mystery. I want to find out what I got in this thing I want to know. I want to find out. But see, if I'm over here believing this stuff, well, it all ain't for us today, then you just go lay down and go to sleep somewhere, you know, and say, well, God wants me to have it. I'll have it. Well, I'll tell you, you won't. So just don't even worry about it or think about it anymore. If you can't get it from the banker or from your mama or for somebody else, it ain't coming. Because God ain't sending it. You might get people to do it. Hallelujah. It won't get this people to do it, though. Hallelujah. Well, it was a good, he purposed in his will. Look, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are which on earth in him. God brought heaven and earth together, man. We're living in the days of heaven and earth together. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The church is waiting to get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you ain't going to need none of this. There's no enemies over there. There's no sickness over there. There's nothing over there. There ain't anybody missing lunch. They don't have soup lines in heaven. There's no lack or want there or anything. The devil don't bug anybody in heaven. In the fullness of the day, Jesus Christ has brought this thing together, heaven and earth. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of God is in you. It's here in the earth. We keep trying to bring it down. We keep trying to bring down what Jesus brought down for us. Hallelujah. It's been brought down here and handed to us, and we just keep trying to, we keep talking to him like he ain't done it yet. See, it's unbelief. We talk unbelief in prayer. Well, Lord, you know, would you heal me? He says, by my stripes, Jesus says, you were healed. You were already healed. No. I'm still feeling bad. That can't be true. Oh, no. I guess God's saying no to me. No, you said no to you. You said God is not allowed to heal me because I ain't going to believe what the Bible says. I don't believe he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I don't believe he did that. No, because I can tell my arm still hurts and my stomach is queasy. I can know. Now, I know if I got it, if he gave me anything, if I was already healed, I would know it. A person like that going to go along and know nothing in life. You know what? Even sinners can't have a decent life living by just what you see. Dear God, everybody believes in stuff you can't see. How many of you believe you're breathing oxygen today? Yeah. Well, you have faith in that. So don't talk ever say that you can't have faith. Yeah, you can. You believe in what you don't see. You know, there's radiation around us. It's deadly radiation. Now, it's in small amounts. It won't kill you, but it's here. People believe that. You know, the center, I remember Three Mile Island thing took place. I remember people moving out of the area, heading out. You go outside, the sun was shining, looked beautiful. Yet all them people and all them Christians even believed. But you get them over the Bible and they're Mr. and Mrs. Unbelief. They have to see everything. But the world tells them something and they, woo, yeah, it's true, I'm going to God. Hallelujah, that's good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. What does it say? We are going to get an inheritance? Does it say that? We have obtained an inheritance. We already got our inheritance. We are not waiting to get our inheritance. We already got it. Our inheritance. That's what the will about. The will is about the inheritance. What you got? You see, that's what I'm saying. If you don't understand these wonderful things that he said, you know, I know from a natural standpoint, what the God of heaven would offer me this. That's why you can't sit down and think about it in your mind. These are things that can only be meditated on by the heart, because that's the place where it needs to be believed. It is understanding its fullness from the heart, not the mind. We have all the mind Christianity you want. Most churches are mind churches. They preach what's reasonable to the mind. Most born-again Christians go to churches that preach intellectualism in Christianity. It's what can fit to your mind. Why would you talk in tongues? You don't understand what you're saying. Boy, it don't fit the mind. We can't have it. Let's throw it out. Don't fit the mental. We can't have that. We got to throw that one out because why? I don't know what I'm saying. That's the best thing that ever happened to most people. And most people, we could shut them up. A lot of good things would take place. Hey, it's good preaching anyhow, folks. We need to understand this thing. See, it's running the mental. You know, I don't believe with my mind. My mind sometimes, I know in my heart, I got a hold of it and I got it and my mind's up there saying, I can't figure this one out. I don't pay any attention to what my head tells me. If my head don't speak to me in line with the Word, there's not a discussion on the thing. If the Bible said it, it's true. God is true. I don't even have to understand time. You know, the Bible's true and the Word's true, whether I can figure it out or not. That matters not. If you said, I'm only going to believe the Bible, what I can understand and figure out, you're always going to be a very limited person in faith. You're always going to be very limited. See, most people will never operate in things unless they can. Have to give them an intellectual explanation of how it works. They won't just look at it. I don't need to know that something. So, the Bible says it's true. The Bible says, like here now, I've obtained an inheritance. I don't look like I care if I feel like I ain't got anything. I'm sorry, I got an inheritance. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk and say, you know, I already got the inheritance. I don't care if my mind says, you knucklehead, you ain't got nothing. What are you talking about? No, the Bible says I've already obtained this inheritance. I've already obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God predestined this thing according to His purpose, what He purposed. God's purpose was to give me an inheritance. Do you know why you need the inheritance? You can never do the will of God without it. That's why most Christians will live and die out of the will of God. Because they will never accept the inheritance. It's something in the sweet by and die. One day I'll drop dead and then I'll get it. It's just like you go to funerals and ministers say, well, now they entered into eternal life. If you didn't get eternal life here, you ain't getting it over there. I entered eternal life. I had eternal death before I got born again. That's what I was. I was damned to hell. I was going to spend eternity with Lucifer and his cousins and all them people. That's where I was going. And when I got born again, I changed kingdoms. And I got eternal life. Eternal life is simply this. It's not living forever. People who are dead in sin are going to live forever. Hell and the lake of fire are forever. It is hell. We understand this. Spiritual death is separation from God. That's what it is. A person who has the life of Satan, that's what I had. When I got born again, I was created by the Holy Spirit, got a new creation. Now I have the life of God. That's what eternal life is having the life of God. I am now hooked to God. I was hooked to the devil, and now I'm hooked to God. See, that's why you have to believe these things. You can't approach God and pray and think that, you know, well, someday I'm going to enter into this kind of stuff and someday I'm going to get eternal life and some. No, I talk to God on His level because I have His life. I can believe these things on God's level because I have eternal life. I've been created to think like God. Well, we talked about in the beginning, talking about this, having the faith of God. Jesus said, you know, have faith in God, but really in the Greek, it means to have the faith of God or faith like God does. I can't have faith like God has if I ain't like Him. I'm like Him because I have His life. I have eternal life. Therefore, I can believe the Word of God. I can walk and live in line with it. I can receive from it. I can, because I have the same life. See, this whole thing's identifying us with God in His kingdom. It's giving us that identity. And the church reads these things. I mean, this thing was, I mean, they never read this stuff to me when I was in church as a kid. Like, they'd have never done it. They thought it was sacrilegious. That, oh my God, you don't say these things. You know, they're there in a book, nice to read, but don't discuss them. No, but I'll get some old scripture out of the Old Testament and make you feel unworthy. Oh, we could do that one. Well, make you feel like a scumbag. Come on. They knew how to do that one. Always talking about your failure. You don't have to talk to me about my failure. I know them all. Hallelujah. But God don't come and talk to me. When I go to His book, He's not talking to me about my failure. See, you read these things. You want to keep failing? Keep talking about your failures. See, what changes your life is the Word of God. I keep talking this stuff. I look in here and say, this is what I am. I don't say, I'm that dumb guy yesterday that did that stupid thing. Say, no, this is what God says I am. If you don't change, you're not going to go any further than you believe. You will never become more than what you believe you are. I don't care. I can read these things to you today, but if you don't meditate on them and that kind of stuff, you'll never walk in the place where you'll believe this stuff. If you just take your time talking out, just like, you know, meet your friends and just talk about a bunch of junk and about, oh, yeah, well, yeah, the weather's going sour and the earth's going under and the politicians are doing this and that. And that's your, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you, I'm a king in this life. I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ain't one of the boys. Are you just, I get Christian, well, I'm just like everybody else. Well, get ready for hell. I'm not. I'm a priest and a king. Christianity has become so casual today, it's just nothing but a casual thing. Casual people playing casual stuff. Folks, you can't walk into the victory of this stuff. You've got to see who and what you are. Hallelujah. And this stuff is so good. In Him, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. What are we supposed to be? To the praise of His glory. What did He say over there about answered prayer? The fruit of answered prayer? What does that thing bring, that fruit of answered prayer? I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. I appointed you to this thing. Why? It's going to be to the praise of His glory. I get prayers answered. It's to the praise of His glory. I'm fulfilling the Word of God. God wants you to fulfill His Word. It's not some religious thing on a page. That's why I encourage you. You can go over and you want to understand the principles of how faith works. But you need to read and meditate on these things to get yourself to the place where when you step into the presence of God, this is where I belong. I'm not waiting for the presence of God. I walk into it. I walk into it. It can only be entered into by faith. The princes of God is what you go to. See, many people, they'll pray for hours on end trying to get into the presence of God. I'm sorry. You'd be sitting down and read the Bible some, get yourself built up, and step into it. Say, God, I'm here. Now, I don't feel like I'm a throne. I don't see a throne. But He said I can come boldly to the throne of grace. So I just say, praise God, I'm right here. Throne of grace. Look, God's inside of me living. The Holy Ghost is inside of here. I'm not trying to reach out to a God somewhere out there, hidden somewhere in some place. And God's in me. So you got to live in the light of these things. God's in me. God put the Holy Spirit in you to teach you these things. He's the teacher. He guides you and leads you into all the truth. He's going to talk to you about your inheritance. You wouldn't need Him in you if the inheritance was for some other time. You wouldn't need Him. You know, Kenneth Hagin said, most Christians think He's just a hitchhiker. You know, He's just hitchhiking a ride along in you down here while He's down here. He ain't doing nothing. He's just hitchhiking a ride. No, He's not. He's in there. So to reveal to me all that Christ did for me, all that I have become, all that God has blessed me with, to tell me those. Why? So, and then told me, now pray and ask for Him and you'll get Him. Ask by faith and you'll get it. And we say, now sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no. The whole time it's like, what's the point of the Holy Spirit? He's pretty worthless. The Holy Spirit has been sleeping in most Christians. He's yawning. He's in bed. And there ain't no alarm clock going off either because they ain't got enough faith to wake him up. He's in there yawning. Say, oh, do I have to stay here? You know what? The kindness of God, that same Holy Spirit will continue to just keep prompting. It'll prompt a person to the day they die, whether they move into it or not. People say, I can't hear from God. I'm going to tell you what, I hear more than I want to sometimes. Sometimes I wish he wouldn't say certain things to me. The Holy Ghost talks. The main things that he loves to talk about, if you want to understand the Holy Spirit, you need to come in line with what Jesus said. The Holy Ghost, Jesus said this himself. He said he would forgive you of anything, but he said the Holy Spirit wouldn't. You grieve the Holy Spirit, he won't. Many times Christians don't hear because they're defaming Jesus all the time. They defame his works by saying, you can't always get your prayer answered. They defame him saying, well, his name's no good. You can't use it in prayer. You can't get it. And they say, the Holy Ghost doesn't talk to me. He won't. You want to get the Holy Ghost silent in you? Talk against the Word of God. He'll get silent. Let me close with this. It's one of the things, I've talked about this before, but I want to share it. I had an experience with the Holy Spirit back in 1989, in the spring of 89. I had been attending Rhema Bible Training Center at that time, and in the afternoon, after our regular classes, you could go to it, voluntary or not. They had what they call prayer school, and you could go there. They'd pray, talk a little bit about prayer, and then spend time in prayer. And we would do that. It was really good. It was great times that we did back in that time. And so I had planned to go to prayer school. I was going to go to prayer school. And I was in class, and the Lord said to me, and just really clear, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, said, don't go to prayer school today. He said, I want you to go out to the reservoir. He said, I want to talk to you. Well, there's a reservoir. It was about a mile, a little over a mile, about a mile and a half from our house, where our apartment was. And the reservoir was, it was over 2 miles around it. And I used to go out there, and it was a place that I used to go out and exercise and run. I used to go out there and run around there a few times and that stuff. I'd go out there and run around a thing two or three times. And it's also a place I would go out there because there was hardly ever anybody there. People used to come up and fish in the reservoir. But the reservoir had a road completely around it. There usually was, if there's people there, maybe you'd go up, you'd see 10 people around there, the whole place around it. So it was pretty, you know, you didn't have a lot of people around, so I could just walk and pray and do stuff. And so, Lord, the Spirit of God spoke really clear. I want you to go out there. I want to talk to you today. And I never expect to happen what did. You know, I just obey him. He said, I want to talk to you. So I went out there. I went out there after school. I went down. I went home and changed my clothes and went down and went out. And I went, you know, well, Lord, here I am. I'm here. And so you wanted me out here. So I started walking around there and praying. And I got over and I was just praying in tongues. And then something happened. I went through a period of time. I don't really know how long it was. Maybe a half an hour or more that I had spent where I didn't even remember it ever taking place. But all of a sudden, I was sort of like come to yourself. I didn't realize. I came to myself. And I'm praying in tongues at the top of my voice. I am just, and it was like that whole time in between, I don't know what happened, woman. I don't know what was going on. But when all of a sudden I became conscious of what I was doing, I stopped because, and then I looked around and I thought, boy, if anybody was around, they think, man, this guy is a nut. Because, I mean, I'm not just talking like in my voice now. I mean, I'm yelling in tongues. And I didn't know. And at the time, I was thinking, wow, what's happened here? What's going on? Like me, I didn't know what was going on. And so I just stopped. I looked around and nobody is there. And it was really odd because, you know, it's a spring day and you're out around there. Top, usually people are fishing up there. And where I stand, you could see the whole road the whole way around. And nobody's at the place. Yeah. And they could have ran him off. They said, "Get the crazy man up there at the top of his lung, talking some crazy language." But anyhow, so I just stopped and I started walking along and just talking a little bit, and it was a matter of a couple of minutes. The Holy Spirit, it wasn't Jesus, and it wasn't God the Father. It was the Holy Spirit. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. He started talking to me about things, and which I won't go into what he's talking to me about, but he started talking to me about things. It was just so clear. I mean, he'd speak, and then he'd say certain things, and I would ask him a question about it, and he would just respond immediately back to me. And so for somewhere between 20 minutes to a half an hour, I was walking around this place and just holding a conversation with the Holy Spirit. We're just talking, walking back and forth around there. And the Holy Spirit's talking to me. He's talking to me certain things about Jesus. He's telling me something. It was one thing, you know, dealing with that. But so I went through this thing, and at the end of it, he said a certain thing, and he said, okay, he said, you're done. You can go now. I mean, that's exactly what he said to me. You're done. You can go now. I thought, well, okay. See, the Holy Spirit, he didn't read the King James Bible, for understand. I don't know if he read that one right. He didn't thee thou me one time. He didn't say anything religiously or do anything. He just talked to me like, so anyhow, and gave me some good information. And I mean, it was just really, questions I had, he had answered concerning certain things that he had told me about. There's some things I knew partially about. But anyhow, so he said I could go. And I was down by where the breast of the dam was, and my car was around over at the side, just up a ways, and then they had a gate there you could walk down through and through the gate and get in your car. And I walked down to get in my car, and I walked down and got in my car, started my car, started backing out of the place, and there's a presence started coming in my car. And I knew who it was. Now, I didn't see anybody, but I knew that presence coming in my car, I knew it was Jesus. I knew it. I just knew that I knew that it was Jesus. And that presence, I mean, was so strong. I mean, it was super strong. The only thing that I can say really to try to explain this is holiness. It's a whole thing that I thought. See, in the realm of the Spirit, holiness is not a word. Holiness is tangible. Holiness is tangible. It's touchable. That presence coming in, that holiness, I could, this is what happened to me. I started backing out of the place to drive out. I turned to swing the car around where it was parked to drive out. And when I did, the only thing I could think in my mind was jump out of the car. I thought, man, my flesh thought it was going to die. It was so powerful. And the bad part about it, after spending this time up here in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, I immediately got into the flesh. Now, I know none of you would. You're just a spiritual one. And I got into the flesh, man. And I found this very interesting. Because Jesus is coming into the car, and the Holy Spirit speaks up. And I knew it was him. He said, stop acting like that. He wants to talk to you. He got me back over in the Spirit. But he rebuked me. He said, stop acting like that. See, sometimes you need rebuked. You get over. Many people do that. Spiritual things start happening and people yield to their flesh instead of the Spirit. And so I had to bring my flesh. But I tell you what, when I got over, my flesh thought it was going to die with him coming in the car. And he came in the car, that presence came in, and he talked to me. And he didn't stay long. He just said a few things. But I realized what this whole thing, really, the major, this was the revelation that I got out of this whole thing. Now, this thing, he gave me some answers. The Holy Spirit did. Jesus spoke to me about some stuff. This was really good. But I realized this whole thing was about knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing what he's like. The Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit never magnifies himself. Scripture says so. He doesn't. The only one he magnifies is Jesus. That's it. He don't talk about himself. He don't talk about. He will not guide you into him. He guides you into Christ. This is why if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you're not going to know much about Jesus. You're not going to know much about the Word. Because the Holy Spirit guides you into the truth. That's what it's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. It's just like him. When I started acting in that manner, the Holy Spirit rebuked me. Why? I wasn't honoring Jesus. And he immediately rebuked me. He didn't say, now I know you just don't understand, Ed. Now just relax. No, he rebuked me. I started to realize. It gave me a real understanding. From that day, my cooperation and walking with the Holy Spirit changed. And I began to realize, and you need to understand it, this is what faith is about. Faith is a spiritual operation. It's not a physical operation. It's not just mumbling some words when you pray. Faith is a place that you walk with the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher of the Word. You don't have faith without Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to know the Holy Spirit. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that tells us things. We have this. That's why we need to treat the book like it's something precious anymore, just not reading material. These are the words of God that God has predestined that those words by the Holy Spirit be revealed to you. It's been predestined by God for you to be able to believe them and use them in this earth while you're here. You've been predestined and chosen for that purpose. Anything less is outside of the will of God. The Holy Spirit wants to turn around. He wants to, you and I to fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ. There's no other purpose of having Him in you. It's not so you can talk in tongues. Thank God we can talk in tongues. It's a good thing. So we praying in the Spirit says you edify yourself. Well, you need build up. Don't edify you in the flesh. It edifies your inner man. Makes your inner man strong. That's where you need your strength. Everybody wants strength in their flesh. I mean, you got a strong inside. Don't worry about your flesh. It'll get right. It's the weakness in spirituals, in the Christian spirit is why so much sickness and all that goes on. It's the weakness. Because the same Spirit raised Jesus in the dead in there to quicken your mortal body. If He can't do that, it ain't His fault. See, He wants to work in us and yield to that fact. Yield to that. Understand He's in there for the whole purpose to reveal to you what all that Jesus wants to have concern this inheritance, your destiny, it is in the book. And it's there, and the Holy Spirit is the one who takes those wonderful words out of that book and He reveals them to you. So they're no longer words in a book. They're a life. They're a life. They aren't just words in a book anymore. They're a life. And when you speak that life out of your mouth and you do it according to the Word, it comes to pass. The life of God comes into manifestation in the earth. Heaven and earth are working together. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth are hooked up together. And the words of God don't come to pass because they're in a book. They come to pass when they get in a person. And that person stands up, believes the words of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit speaks those words and walks in that revelation. And then heaven and earth start working together right here in this place. Right in your house. Right in your things. That's how it works. That's what it does. See, that's why you want to walk in these things. The Holy Spirit is such a precious gift. Thank God for the new birth. But I'm just going to tell you, the new birth wouldn't have near its worth if Jesus hadn't sent the Holy Ghost. That's why He said, hey guys, I got to go. I got one better for you. If Jesus was the best for us to stay here, it wouldn't have worked. If He had stayed, it would have been Him just doing stuff. But He sent the Holy Ghost who works in every believer. And it's like, just like, exactly like having Jesus in every person who believes on Him. There's a lot of Jesuses running around down here, but there's a lot of Jesuses that don't know that they're Jesus. They don't know it. They don't understand it. They don't know. Jesus, all His wisdom, all of His understanding, living inside of Him. And Christians are sitting around saying, well, I just have trouble thinking, and I just have trouble. We have the mind of Christ. It says, we have the mind of Christ. It didn't say you need to get it. It said you have it. Well, sure you do. I have the mind of Christ. The Holy Ghost is in me. He's the mind of Christ. And I got Him. Hallelujah. All I got to do is hook up to Him. Just like me, in this tablet here. Now the information in this tablet, all I have to do is go to the right folders and different stuff. I can get all the information out that I need. That's what the Holy Ghost is. He's like a folder in a computer that has everything you need to know in that folder. And if you click it over, you can go to any document in that folder and get the information out that you want. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And what the church does? No, when you die, then you'll understand all this. Don't open the folder. Oh, no. We're not supposed to open the folder. God said no. He said sometime. He said maybe. The Holy Ghost never says that. the Holy Ghost will always do what Jesus said. He will guide you into the truth, not into fiction, nor fables, nor men's ideas, nor men's plans. He will never lead you in that. You'll have to take yourself there. He will never go there. He always leads into the truth. You will never hear the Holy Ghost saying, well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. The Holy Ghost will never say that. The Holy Ghost might come along and tell you why you haven't been able to get a hold of it, but he'll never tell you you can't have it. He'll never say, ever say such a thing, because if he does, he's lying on Jesus, and he's not a man that he can lie. Hallelujah. God the Holy Ghost. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited today that you got God the Holy Ghost in you? Don't that excite you? God the Holy Ghost inside of you? Hallelujah. Oh, man, he's inside of you. And what do you need to know? Look at those gracious. I didn't even read all through all the stuff. Just wonderful things. Wonderful things that the scripture tells us about us and our position. And then you take those and you look over what Jesus said. You want to talk about changed prayer lives? People have changed prayer lives. There won't be any more skepticism when we come in prayer. What the Word says belongs to you. I was always thankful because, you know, being taught these things as a young Christian, and Kenneth Hagin, you know, taught these things. And I mean, I just first got born again. I was only a Christian in a matter of a few months when I got the revelation concerning healing and how it works. So this one, you don't have to be some kind of spiritual giant, because I wasn't. I'd gone to church a million times as a kid and didn't learn nothing. And then I turned around, didn't go to church at all for years and years and years on end. You know, I had more sense than most Christians even do. My wife and I got married. We didn't get married in church because I said, I ain't going to be a hypocrite. I don't go to church. I don't have nothing to do with God. I ain't going to be a hypocrite like most people. Most Christians are hypocrites. They don't have nothing to do with God. And then one day they get married, they want some kind of blessing and fall on their head. What they need is a rock fall on their head. Wake them up. I want a blessing today. I've been a curse on this earth as much as I can. But I'll tell you, God, bless me today just because I'm getting married. We ain't going to do that. I said, I ain't going to be a hypocrite. I said, because I ain't going to church. And I said, I don't have nothing to do with God now. You know, he ain't going to be tickled. I show up one day. And they go. I had more honor than most Christians have as a sinner. See, I wouldn't have done things like that. You know, I was just one. If you're going to sin, get after it. I could never stand these Christians that would sin a little bit on the side. And if you're going to get after it and forget about it. Or even people. I'd be around people when I was a sinner and they would just, you know, say, they would mess around. I'd say, why don't you just get down and sin? You're going to go to hell the way you are anyhow. So might as well just have as much fun as you can right now. Because if you don't change your life, you might as well just get after it. Have a good time. What's the point? Well, I won't go to hell as bad. Whatever that, I don't understand your life. Hell is hell, a lake of fire. I mean, it's going to be. See, to me, I always thought, well, if you're on your way to hell, you might as well have as much fun while you can here, because this is the end of it when you're done. Last I checked, I won the second chance. But I did the same thing when I got saved. When I came to Christ, I came to the place and I said, I served sin and went all out after it. And now I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to go all out after it. And that's what I've done. I've went all out after it. The people who lived in the sin trying to be a nice person as a sinner usually become just sort of nice people when they get saved too. They never go into all out after it. I don't know. I just was an all out after it person. I was like, you get after it. Whatever it is, go get it all. You know, if you're going to do something, go the whole way with it. Hallelujah. Well, if I'm going to have some fun with God while I'm here, I'm going to go out after. I don't want to live like most Christians do. I don't want to do that. I have no desire to live like the average Christian. In fact, I don't think if I was going to do that, I'd even want to stay on this earth. If I was sick and a nominal Christian, this is myself, I'd rather die and go off to heaven than live down here through the nonsense. Hallelujah. But praise God, knowing God, I got something to live for. Hallelujah. Knowing who and what He is, glory to God. I'll tell you what, I ain't done running this race yet. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm picking up speed. Glory to God. I'm running better than I ever did. And there's more obstacles have been in my way, and I'm running better. Hallelujah. Because the glory gets greater as we go along. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You for the glory. And Lord God, I want to thank You that revelation come out this morning, Lord God. Lord God, I praise You, Lord God, that these people need encouraged and built up. Lord God, the walls of religion and things that have been said in the past that have held them down, Lord God, I thank You this morning. Those bondages are broken in the name of Jesus. Broken over lives in Jesus' name. Satan, You're not going to be able to hold them anymore. You're not going to keep them in that place. Lord God, the truth and knowing the truth makes men free. And I thank You today that there's freedom here because the truth of the Word, hallelujah, brings freedom in Jesus' name. And people walk in freedom. Lord God, I thank You today is almost like, oh, you can take a deep breath again in the name of Jesus. It's like being able to breathe freely, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, the air of the Spirit is so good, hallelujah, full of the glory of God. Lord God, I want to thank You, Father God, for fruitful prayer lives. People who know how to walk in the Word, live in the Word, Lord God. Lord God, You're taking them, Lord God, not to walk in a glory that they've been, but Lord God, from glory to glory. Lord God, this is where You're taking us. Hallelujah. Before, Lord God, they can believe the Word. They can walk in the Word. And Father, I want to thank You today. There's many shackles that are breaking off in the name of Jesus. There's things, Lord God, that the Word has crushed. Hallelujah. And moved out of the way in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we take Jesus. We take Your Word and we uphold it and honor it above all. Hallelujah. You said if we ask You the Father in Your name, we'd have it. It's true, Jesus. You could never lie. You could never lie. So we thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're counting on You. And thank You, Lord Jesus, because of all that You've done for us through Your great death, burial, and resurrection. All that You've made us and turned us into. All that You've given us in this wonderful, glorious inheritance. My God, for here and now. And truly, Lord God, I can see that whatever we bind on earth would be bound in heaven. That whatever we loose on earth would be loosed in heaven. Lord God, we're tied together. We're walking together. Heaven and earth together with people, Lord God. The ones that You've predestined, Lord God. Hallelujah. That's us. Predestined, Lord God, to the praise of Your glory. Predestined, Lord God, to the mysteries of Your will. Predestined, Lord God, to every blessing in heavenly places. Predestined to it all. It's all ours. It belongs to us now. Hallelujah. And we receive it. Hallelujah. And say this, Lord Jesus, thank You for doing all this stuff for us. Thank You for being so good. Thank You, Jesus, for paving the way so we can get our prayers answered. So we don't have to go through somebody else to get to our Father. That we can walk right into the throne of our Father and look into the face of our God and ask. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can ask and He responds to us. Glory to God. We don't have to get somebody else to do it. I don't have to get somebody who's I think's better than me. Lord Jesus, You made us all presentable in His sight. Hallelujah. And we can walk by the blood of Jesus into the throne room of God and ask and we shall receive that our joy may be full. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank You for it, Father. Father, this is a wonderful day. It's a wonderful time to hear these gracious words. Lord God, I've heard these words so many times over the years, but Lord God, today, it's almost like I never heard them before. Lord God, they're just wonderful to hear again. There's so much life in them, and I appreciate it so much for breathing these things on us again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Breathing on us again in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to just, and the Holy Ghost just wants to encourage you to go to the Father yourself. You know, don't go by proxy. Don't go to God. The Father wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear what you have to say. Hallelujah. Go to the Father in the name of Jesus. Go there. See, the name of the Jesus is not some nice little tag we just happen to put on things. See, that's what's become in prayer. It's just a little tag on thing. No, it's the authority that I have. In the authority of His name is my right to get my prayers answered. Father, the Father cannot turn down the name. He can't turn it down. See, no. We're not going to answer those prayers. No. And the authority of the name. I'm in Him. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. I'm in Him. We're going to talk about it because we're going to look at some more scriptures in these areas that Jesus spoke about. That Jesus said, "We're tied to God." And our whole desire that God is our prayers get answered. Hallelujah. The Father set this in motion. You're not going to Him about something He didn't want to give. He's the one that's asked us to come. He provided the way and the authority through Jesus Christ. He did. He set the thing in motion. Hallelujah. He's just wondering why most people ain't using it. We're not yet. Come boldly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, before we go this morning, we're going to take an offering for the missionaries. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I hope they're preaching these messages.